Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to this edition of Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. He will be back in the captain's chair tomorrow for Trivia Friday. That's right, folks. It is already Friday. He's about to dawn on us. And I am joined in studio, of course, by Walker Wildman, assistant to the president. And Fred Jackson has gone back across the street to head up the news department. And he is replaced ably here by Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning / good afternoon, Steve Jordahl, depending on where folks are listening from.
Good morning / good afternoon. Good afternoon in Washington, D.C., where all this madness is going on.
It is. It's craziness at a level that I've never seen. And I lived through, well, the late 60s, but grew up really as a teenager in the 70s.
They say anybody that can remember the late 60s didn't really live through them.
Well, I was, I entered junior high in 1970, I think. And so I wasn't anywhere close to, I was just really a kid. I remember the Batman shows and all that. I was still young enough
to
enjoy that.
I was close to Haight-Ashbury and the San Francisco scene, but yeah. I was like seven, yeah, so I didn't get a whole lot into but I was pretty close.
So I did grow up in the 70s, very contentious, and remember, of course, the fallout from the 60s that kind of continued in the 70s. And this is like that. I mean, the Vietnam War and the sexual revolution, what we're living through, just to give some perspective to folks, it has been this bad before.
I don't remember firsthand all of that, and as you look back on things, they kind of get shadowed. The hippie movement seemed, at least on the face of it, was about peace, love, you know, no Vietnam, but it certainly was. This doesn't seem anything like peace and love and joy.
Well, no, but the peace and love part of the movement was only a part of what was going on.
Right. I know.
You know, I remember Kent State, where you had the National Guard and students shot and killed. You had the Black Panthers.
Altamont with the Hells Angels.
Hells Angels. Yeah. So let's put it this way. Whenever a people move away from God and distance themselves from God and his laws and his commandments and humbling themselves before him and fearing God, you will find that vacuum that's created filled by darkness. And we're seeing a repeat of that. I don't know how you measure, what scale you measure these two time periods in our nation's history, but they're both similar, at least in characteristic, because darkness is swiftly moving into the vacuum.
One of the differences is we're seeing not only average people, you know, getting upset, rioting, protesting, but you're starting to have high-level officials, representatives of the people, who are also going along with the anarchy, such we've talked about in the Senate and things like that.
Done,
and so I think that's the difference when back then they might have denounced it, you know. But
very publicly expressing their intent to break the rules.
Yeah. Johnson and Nixon and Ford and Carter, to some extent, were all establishment presidents that that had the support of a good number of people. This is blurring lines, I agree, like we've never seen before.
Yeah. At least Nixon, when he broke the law, tried to hide it.
Yeah.
And now you have Democrats in the Senate. They're breaking the rules.
I fully acknowledge it's going to kick me out.
Yeah, I love it. I'm doing it. And other Democrats saying, we're going to join you. All right. So I don't want to relitigate that case. What else we got?
Well, it wasn't the only hearing. It's not the only hearing going on yesterday. There was a hearing in the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Actually, there was two hearings, one in the Senate, one in the House. We're going to focus in a little bit on the House. It was Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, and they had Facebook COO, Chief Operating Officer, Sheryl Sandberg. They invited, Facebook, who didn't show up. No, I'm sorry. They invited Google, who didn't show up. But they did have this. And what they were talking about was whether or not one of the subjects they were talking about, they covered several, but one of them was whether or not Twitter was involved in censoring or shadow banning conservative voices. And I wanted to play you a little bit from that.
Do you need to define shadow banning for our listeners, or will that become clear in the clip?
No, let me define it. Shadow banning is where Twitter may or not take some actions to diminish the visibility of your posts and how they show up in rankings and such without you knowing it. In other words, it looks the same to you, it's just your reach has been severely slashed.
So if you have 1,000 friends and you post something on your Facebook feed, your page, and you expect all 1,000 of your friends to see it, shadow banning is when Facebook says, we're only going to let 100 people see it.
We'll only send the notification or the notification that it's up to 100 people. I think if under shadow banning, if someone actually goes to your Twitter feed, they'll be able to see it. But
right.
But it's this is how it's shadows, because they don't tell anybody. It just happens that only a vast minority of the people that are supposed to get the notifications that you put something up on Twitter are getting those notifications. So you're going to hear Jack Dorsey responding in order to chairman of the committee, Greg Walden from Oregon. He's a Republican. Then you're going to hear Mike Doyle from Pennsylvania. And then you're going to hear Joe Barton from Texas. And they're all talking with Jack Dorsey.
What did the algorithm take into account that led to prominent conservatives, including members of the U.S. House of Representatives, not being included in auto search suggestions? What caused that?
In this particular case, as I mentioned in my opening, we were using a signal of the behavior of the people following accounts. And we didn't believe, upon further consideration and also seeing the impact, which was about 600,000 accounts, pretty broad base, that was ultimately fair, and we decided to correct it.
So just for the record, Twitter undertook no behavior to selectively censor conservative Republicans or conservative voices on your platform. Is that correct?
Correct.
Good. So let the record reflect that, because that's the whole reason, supposedly, we're here.
Your post says, well, there were some Democrat politicians, too, so out of 600,000, if there were 1,000 Republicans and 10 Democrats, it still seems somewhat biased. If it's 50-50, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Well, we agree that the result was not impartial.
So what he's doing is admitting bias, then unadmitting bias, and then re-admitting bias. And take note, he talked about the way they judged this was by the behavior of the followers.
Okay, so explain that for there's a lot of our listeners are not on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's a follower?
A follower with
Twitter. Use yourself as an example.
Okay, I have a Twitter account. It's Steve Jordahl AFN. I invite anybody to go to Twitter and you can look up Steve Jordahl AFN. A little window will pop up with my gorgeous picture there, I think, and then a little description of myself. And then there's a button that you can push that says follow. Or if you're following somebody already, it says unfollow. If you push that button, then you will see anything that I put up on Twitter. It might be a comment on a news story. It could be something that I repost, or if I press like on another person's post or whatever, you'll know that I do that. Shadow banning means that you might not know. I'm not near enough a big deal to really attract that kind of attention, but that's what followers are. So what they did, what Jack Dorsey is saying happened is he's looking at the activities of the people that are following these people. And if
so, the conservatives were the,
well, yeah, and he's saying it's just a broad bunch of people. So, but say you don't just single out conservatives when you compile the list of people you're looking at, but say that whenever someone says something like Make America Great Again or All Lives Matter or Ocasio-Cortez is a socialist and doesn't deserve to be on, you know, in the House or whatever it is. If they start saying those activities are, for example, hate speech, or those activities are somehow run afoul of their rules, then the effect is that only the people that are saying Make America Great Again and All Lives Matter are the ones that are being castigated or shadow banned.
Uh-huh.
So that's what he's saying. Jack Dorsey says we looked at the activity, the behavior of these people, and that's how we determined. And we determined that it wasn't fair the way we were doing it. And then Mike Doyle, Democrat from Pennsylvania, comes along and says, "Well, just to be sure, you didn't actually take any actions against conservatives, did you? Well, no, he didn't go look and see, oh, I'm Republican, so I'm going to do that, or I'm conservative, so I'm going to take that account down. But he looked at the activity, and he decided that conservative activities more often violate their terms than do liberal activities. So he was able to answer to Mike Doyle, no, we didn't target Republicans. But as Joe Barton, the last voice you heard, points out, they targeted Republican or conservative activities. Well, yeah, we did, and it wasn't fair, so we're going to try to change it.
Yeah. It's kind of, I'm not trying to, some of our listeners may be confused at this point.
I'm barely
hanging on. Okay, but it reminds me of, you know, the old kind of expression, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and sounds like a duck, it's a duck.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Twitter did not ban ducks, but banned all the people.
Any animal that quacks.
That quacks.
Yeah.
That walks like a duck.
Right.
And it seems like that's the way they did it.
And I've been following social media for a bit, and it's not just Twitter. Facebook has been facing these charges, and I've been talking with Facebook. I can't release some of the audio that I have with them because it's off the record, and I will honor that. But I have Facebook officials telling me when I ask them, do you use your speech codes, do you base them on the First Amendment? They said specifically, no, we do not. We specifically avoid the First Amendment. We'd rather create a safe, welcoming environment on our space than
have
free speech.
Basically, they've made up their own First Amendment standard.
And we do need to remind our listeners that private companies do not have, they're under no obligation to honor the principles of the First Amendment.
Yeah.
So, you know, Facebook doesn't have to, but kind of like we were talking in our story meeting, Walker, the assumption on the part of people who use these socials, as they're called, mm-hmm. is that everyone's allowed to participate.
Right.
Weren't you the one talking about the difference between platforms and publishers?
Yeah, exactly. There's the Facebook and Twitter and all the others, they originated with the idea that everybody can go there, no matter your political ideology, your religion, et cetera. Everybody can go there and they can just share their thoughts and their ideas, articles they like. They can like stuff, share stuff, et cetera. But that's not really the case, we've learned. And it's one thing if Twitter, you know, Twitter creates itself in, you know, 2008, 2009, and they say, we are a social media platform, but we only allow certain people to come on. And beware that if you create a profile and we don't like what you're posting, we're going to delete it. But they don't do that. They act like it's for everybody, but behind the scenes, they're deleting everybody's stuff and shadow banning people.
Right.
And so it'd be better if they would just be honest and say, you know, we're not really for everybody. We're for people who agree with our leftist ideology. And if we don't like what you're saying, we're probably going to shadow ban you or delete it. Or matter of fact, we're going to do like Alex Jones, and we're just going to completely de-platform you.
Well, and the reason they won't do that is because they're making money having a broad spectrum of people using the platform.
And if they said that, then a lot of people wouldn't use their platform.
Well, what happened was conservatives would say, all right, we're going to create a conservative alternative to Twitter.
Right.
And Twitter would cut in half the number of people. You know, President Trump has millions of followers on Twitter. So that's what's going on. That's why they're being brought in before Congress, because, look, you're giving the impression that you are one thing and you're not really, or we're trying to find out if you really are.
Yeah.
I imagine it's very difficult for them to manage these swaths, millions and billions in case of Facebook and maybe Twitter. I don't know, but anyway.
Well, I don't think we can blame necessarily the people themselves for being of a liberal bent. They are in the Silicon Valley, and I've worked there, lived there, and it's a very liberal part of the country. But as Michael Jordan used to say, when someone asked him, Michael Jordan, how come you don't comment on politics? You know, you're a Democrat. You must not like President Bush because he was what there was in vogue at the time. He said, you know, Republicans buy tennis shoes too.
Right.
He's a businessman when it comes to that, you know, which is probably a good segue to one of the other things I wanted to talk about this morning. Are you going to plan on watching the Thursday night football game tonight?
No, I probably won't.
Is it NFL?
It is NFL.
Yeah. I'm not inclined to.
I'll tell you who it is. the
Saints and Vikings tonight?
No, no. Tonight is, if I can get my phone to come up, the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, okay. That's
right. And during that game, Nike is going to premiere its ad using Colin Kaepernick.
Definitely not watching it now.
Well, there you go. You could turn the TV off for that if you want. I don't know when it's going to happen, maybe at halftime or maybe just during the game. But Nike has certainly not taken the advice of their current and former endorsee, Michael Jordan. They are going all in. Now, you remember Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49er quarterback who started the take the knee movement during the national anthem in the NFL.
He started it.
He's the guy that would wear the Che Guevara t-shirts and the socks with pigs representing police on them.
Yeah, pigs with a police,
hat, police cap on his socks. Very anti, very much into the Black Lives Matter mode, anti-police and anti-flag if you talk to most Americans, anti-American. So Nike decided that they are going to engage him in their campaign, Just Do It campaign.
He's going to be the face of Nike.
One of the faces of this campaign, and they are launching tonight this ad. I got about 27 seconds of this ad. The voice
is going to be like a 90-second ad.
It's a 90-second ad. Yeah. You're going to hear about 27 seconds of it, and the voice you'll hear is Colin Kaepernick.
Don't believe you have to be like anybody to be somebody. If you're born a refugee, don't let it stop you from playing soccer for the national team at age 16. Don't become the best basketball player on the planet. Be bigger than basketball. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
Many people point out Colin Kaepernick really didn't sacrifice a whole lot.
Well, and part of the anger towards this campaign is that people who have sacrificed... Now, there's different opinions on the kneeling, okay? And we do want to say that the vast majority of players in the NFL, I think this is right, do not kneel, okay? So there's a small percentage of those who do. And it is a widespread opinion, although not everyone holds it, that they are showing disrespect not only to the flag, but for those who have died to protect it. Okay, and those are the individuals who really have made sacrifices, and Colin Kaepernick and Nike are not honoring their sacrifices in an attempt to sell their tennis shoes.
Pat Tillman comes to mind.
Yes.
Because Pat Tillman, who was an Arizona Cardinal NFL player who quit the NFL before his career really should have been over to join the Special Forces and was killed in the Middle East.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's somebody that gave up everything.
Right.
Yeah, they when you're cutting a probably, I would bet, a multi-million dollar ad deal with Nike, you didn't lose everything.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't add up. I mean, I'm not against people cutting ad deals and people making money for doing things, but when you're making millions and you're claiming that you're kind of disenfranchised and you're, you know, being discriminated against, that those two don't add up.
What he and Nike are claiming is that his stance for the against the national anthem and taking a knee cost him his NFL career because there is an investigation ongoing now in the NFL whether or not teams colluded to not hire him.
Which is illegal.
Well, yeah, collusion is illegal. I've got to say, if the NFL will take back Michael Vick after he abused dogs, one of the most loved
went
things.
To prison for
went
it.
To prison for it. They wouldn't have.
If Colin Kaepernick was as good as Tom Brady,
yes,
he would have found a position in a heartbeat as a quarterback.
And the team would have backed him.
That's right. He was already lousy when he started protesting.
And I'll say the same thing on the other side of the aisle. The Broncos put up with all the mania surrounding Tim Tebow for a long time.
Right.
It wasn't Tebow's thing, but everybody started taking sides about whether it was Christian or not Christian, and he was released after a marginally successful career as an NFL quarterback and never picked up.
And one thing is, classy players don't kneel for the national anthem. That's the first thing. So you're not going to see a Tom Brady or a Brett Favre kneel for the national anthem. But the second thing is, if for some reason you do have a star player do something out of touch like that, the team's probably going to back him. If there's millions of dollars at stake,
right.
But they had no problem letting Kaepernick go because he wasn't even their starting quarterback.
Yeah. Can we end here with a little bit of lighter moment?
No. I want it to be heartbreak and despair right to the final bell.
I want to go back, if we can, to the House Energy and Commerce Committee hearing with the Twitter and Facebook CEOs. And they had a whole radically different thought about protesters in the House committee than they did in the Senate. You saw for the Kavanaugh hearing people popping up and starting to yell and scream, and they would immediately be drug out of the room. Well, at this hearing...
Because there was some expectation that
right.
could happen.
Well, no one really expected it here. And when a lady popped up in the back with a cell phone taping herself doing this monologue screaming...
Wait, she was videoing?
She had a little selfie stick, and she was videotaping herself.
Ugh.
So she's holding this cell phone up.
The narcissist. Well, that country's filling up with narcissists.
And she started screaming, and the chairman of the committee said, if you don't be quiet, we're going to have you drug out of here. Please be quiet. And then he finally called for the security. She kept on going, and Representative Billy Long from Missouri, he had an interesting way of dealing with it.
Because Jack Dorsey is trying to influence the election,
huh?
To sway the election.
What's she saying? I can't understand her.
What? Steal the election. That is why
what's
he is censoring and shadow banning.
How about a damn 12 and a half, 15, 7 and a half, $20, 2 and a half, 5 and 7 and a half, 30. Hit $30 down here, 2 and a half, 5, 35, 7 and a half, 40. Hit $40, 2 and a half, 5, 5, 45, 7 and a half, 50. Hit $50 down here, 2 and a half,
officer, will you escort this young lady out, please?
Skip, 2 and a half, and now 5. Yeah, but a 4, 4 and a quarter, 4 and a half. We're selling the cell phone there, 4 and a quarter, 4 and a half. Hit 4 and a half, 475, 505, 5 and a quarter, 5 and a half. I yield back.
Yeah,
that was great.
That was sheer genius. Now, who was that doing that? Obviously, this is somebody. Who was it?
Congressman Billy Long from Missouri.
So this is obviously somebody who has some experience.
He's an auctioneer.
Being
outside,
an auctioneer.
Yes.
Because you don't just, I mean, it's like yodeling. You either know how to do it or you don't.
Right.
This person, Long, you said?
Billy Long.
Billy Long.
Yeah, and he auctioned off
his cell phone. He's from, like, Missouri. Something, isn't he?
Yes.
So this lady, you know, that is the perfect way to treat these narcissists. You know, anybody who's going to interrupt the business of the government, okay, unless you're Cory Booker, you're already wanting to be at the center of attention,
right?
Okay, at a hearing with Jack Dorsey. So this is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just some committee dealing with some backwater issue.
Right.
You know, that nobody cares about. This is the socials. This is the Twitter CEO.
Yeah.
He's the founder, right?
Of Twitter, yeah.
Of Twitter. And so you're already so self-centered that you're going to become the center of attention. And then you bring a selfie stick, which is just basically a stick to put your phone on so you can get a better, clearer shot further away. And you're videoing, I want to say videotape, but it's not tape anymore. You're videoing yourself doing this.
Yeah.
that's nuts.
Indeed.
So props to Billy Long, Congressman Billy Long of Missouri.
Yep.
That's going to be one of my all-time favorite things that's happened in Washington, and there are very few of those.
Indeed.
All right, folks, that's all we have for this edition of Today's Issues. My thanks to Fred Jackson, Steve Jordahl, Walker Wildman, as usual, for being on the show here with me. Ed Vitagliano sitting in today for Tim Wildman. He will be back in the chair tomorrow when we have Trivia Friday. Folks, we're going to have some fun tomorrow on this program. Plenty of great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Please stay tuned.